want to be mekayim the mitzvah v'yahach l'riach kamocha. Many times invited to be the guest speaker somewhere. They put up 15 different speakers before me that by the time I get up to speak, people are tired out and it's the hour is late enough to say goodnight. I'm not going to do that to Rabbi Wein. I want to thank the Shachar families for sponsoring these evenings that will continue throughout the year. And one of the purposes is to remember the Midos Tovos of Shoshana Chaya, Vasavron, Shachar. And I think one of the Midos that I want to mention is this is a very tense time of the year. It can be a tremendous strengthening during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and for many people it's a very tense and a frustrating time. Shoshana Chaya had many tense times in her life, many days of judgment, not just Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and yet she always faced them with a smile, with a very upbeat, confident mood. That's the mood that should be Aseres Yemei Tshuva. On the one hand, Emas Hadin. On the other hand, tremendous confidence that the Rabbanu Shalom is not only Shivticha, but Mishanticha. The Rabbanu Shalom not only hits us with the rod sometimes, but that same rod is Mishanticha, it's a support, and we should get tremendous chizuk from these days. And I don't think there's anyone better we could have invited to bring out that message than Rabbi Wein. Rabbi Wein is Divrei Chachomim Benachas Nishmoyim, and it takes very, very serious and important issues and presents them in a way that makes everybody feel comfortable. And without further ado, Rabbi Wein, who's a Rebbe of mine, would like to give over the shender to him.
Thank you, Rabbi Leff, for your warm and generous introduction. Just the way I wrote it. One of the facets of Rosh Hashanah is that the Jewish people were, so to speak, born on Rosh Hashanah. The whole world is born on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Harat Olam. But the Jewish people especially, because there were women that were barren, that could not have children, and they were remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Sarah, Rachel, Hannah, the great mothers of Israel. This is a metaphor not only for personal remembrance, it's a metaphor regarding the Jewish people generally. If you look at the Jewish people at any given time, so God forbid, it has no future. Now what's going to be? And we, if you are foolish enough to read the Israeli newspapers, so you know that that's always the question. What's going to be here? And there are serious problems. And b'derech hateva, naturally speaking, so then one can certainly paint a very bleak picture. One can say, I don't see how it's going to be. But we read in the parsha, Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. So Moshe already said at the end of 40 years in the desert, he said, look at all the troubles we've had. Look at all the wars that we've had. Look at all of the rebellions and bad incidents. So we should have all expired in the desert. Ruhu atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. You're all still here. In fact, I would say that that's what the world does not like about us the most, is that we're still here. because it has tried to solve the Jewish problem for thousands of years and doesn't seem to be able to do it. When I was in Muncie, so I had a neighbor of mine, a very fine woman, who was a Holocaust survivor. She never spoke about what occurred to her, and she never really had plans to somehow go back to her old hometown in Poland and see the village, see the house that she lived in. But finally, after about 25 years, she screwed up enough courage. She told me, "I'm going to go back. I want to see." And I wished her well, and she did go back. When she came back about 2 weeks later, so my wife and I entertained her and her husband, and I was bold enough to ask her, "So what happened? What's your impression?" So she said, "I came to my shtetl, came to the town, and I went to my house. My house was still standing. And I knocked at the door, and my old Polish neighbor is now living in the house. And when she opened the door, she looked at me and she said, 'Bella, you're still alive?'" So that's the problem. You're still alive. Not only alive, look at all the noise you make. All the trouble you make. The American president, the UN, the whole Middle East. I mean, the world would be so great without us, right? Everything would be perfect. So the Rabboni Shalom Kavi, I cannot speak for God. You know, I have not. He hasn't spoken to me in the last 2 weeks, so I really have no inside information. But it certainly is wondrous. The Ramban in his debate in 1263. So there was an apostate Jew by the name of Pablo Christiani. And he was the worst of all possible things. He was half a Talmud Chacham. And he convinced the church, he was looking for a promotion for himself. He was already a priest. He wanted to become a bishop. So he convinced the church that he would be able to prove from the Talmud the verity of Christianity and the perversity of Judaism. So the church grabbed on Kemotzei Sholol Rov, right? Here we got a man that knows the Talmud, and he's willing to prove it. And not only that, he had the audacity to say that he wants the great Jewish rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, the Ramban, to debate it with him. And the debate took place in the week before Shavuot in 1263 in Barcelona, before King James I of Aragon. The Ramban asked the king for freedom of speech, because the law was that if you said anything publicly against Christianity, that was blasphemy, and blasphemy was punished by death. It's like the, you know, our cousins get so nervous when anybody says something, you know. It's a good thing they don't read the Rambam, what he says about Muhammad. Then it would really be in the Rambam either says he's Meshuga or that he's on Hashish, one of the two. So the debate takes place. And the king says, I grant you freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. I will protect you. You're immune from prosecution. Now, the Ramban wrote a sefer, a book of record of the debate. It's called the Sefer HaVikuach. It's a very famous event that was made even into a Broadway play called The Disputation. And a movie was made called The Disputation, because the drama is tremendous. And in the 3 days of the debate, the Ramban naturally took this Pablo Cristiani apart piece by piece. When it was over, the king said, I have never heard a wrong cause defended so ably. Because the king couldn't say that somehow, you know, not only that, as Rabbi Leff will appreciate, the king gave the Ramban 300 gold coins for his yeshiva, which is the highest compliment that one can receive. And the Ramban made one point in 1263. He said, Kivsa achas bein shivim ze'evim. One little lamb among 70 wolves. And the lamb has survived. The Ramban said that 750 years ago. What we say today. Still, Kivsa achas bein shivim ze'evim. But atem nitzovim ayom kulchem livnei Hashem alakeichem. So there's something special in that. There's something that should impress us. And we are not very numerous. The Torah promised us, the Torah says, Lo mirubchem, I did not choose you that you would be many. You're the fewest of all peoples. Everybody says, but it said you'd be like the stars of heaven and the sands of the earth. Forshim point out that that's not necessarily numerical. There are no two stars the same, and there are no two grains of sand that are the same, just as there are no two snowflakes that are the same. I was in Africa. I mean, the Ribono Shel Olam, ain't tzur kelokeinu, ain't tzayir kelokeinu. So when I was in Africa, Mira and I, and you would see 800,000 zebra walking in front of you. They're in the great migration of the plains. So to us, you look at a zebra, one zebra, two zebra, they're all the same. No zebra in the world has the same as stripes as another zebra. And that's how they recognize their families, because the zebra knows which stripes they belong to. It's not bad for evolution. So, you're the smallest of all people. And to put that into perspective for you, when the Jews went into exile in the year 70, there were approximately 6.5-7 million Jews in the world, according to Josephus. Really, to put it into perspective for you, there were about 13 million Chinese in the world then. Today there are 1.6 billion Chinese in the world. And we're 14-15 million Ken Yerbu. Nothing. Of course, if we were 1.6 billion, you know, there would not be an undeveloped piece of real estate left in the world. But more than that, if we were 1 billion people, then there's no personal responsibility on me. I don't have to do anything. Let Yankel do it. Story is told about a little village in Europe that had exactly 10 men, 10 families. Every morning there was a minyan, you know, you had a cold, you had the flu, nobody took a vacation, they had a minyan every day. And then the Lord helped that one day an 11th family moved into town, the next day there was no minyan. So, Yatem Amat Mikol Amin, God is telling us something. I'm keeping you small so that everybody counts. There are no extra people by us. There's no audience. Everybody's on stage. Everybody's held responsible. And that's why in the Mishnah it says, Ovrim Lefonov Givnei Maron, we passed by God one by one. Sheep, like soldiers. I once heard a great drasha from Rabbi Lef about that Mishnah. You probably heard it too already. But everybody passes individually, right? No place to hide. That's really the message of Rosh Hashanah, and that's the reason of our survival, is because we feel that in Yad Vashem, in the museum in Yerushalayim, there is a building called the Children's Memorial. The building was dedicated by a family, Spiegel, from Los Angeles, and originally he gave them $5 million to build the building, and then he gave them another $9 million to support it. He gave them a fortune of money. And the Spiegels, the father and the mother and their 5-year-old son went to Auschwitz in August of 1944. The father and the mother survived, the 5-year-old son did not survive. And later Spiegel moved to California and he made a lot of money, and they had a family again. But he was always haunted by the 5-year-old son that was killed. And he wanted to make a memorial, not only for his son, but the memorial for the 1.5 million Jewish children under the age of 12 that were murdered. Our whole future. So I happened to be in Jerusalem on the day that the museum opened. I think it was 25 years ago, maybe even more. And since I knew Spiegel, I was going to go to the museum. I wanted to see, you know, what Spiegel had wrought. Now I've been to Holocaust museums all over the world, so I know already what I'm going to see. I'm going to see a room full of hair. See a room full of toys, room full of shoes, room full of suitcases. I know that already. So therefore, I was completely unprepared for what I did see. You walk into a room that's maybe 3-4 times the size of this room, but an enormously high ceiling. And the room is pitch black. It's so dark that you cannot put one foot in front of the other without holding on to their side railings. And as you enter, after a minute or two, your eyes begin to adjust to the terrible blackness. You notice that in the middle of the room there's a candle that's burning, a little flame. And by the genius of the designer, the architect, so that little flame is reflected through metal and through water and through all sorts of things, and it becomes a roof full of little pinpoints of light. And then there is a voiceover, a tape recording that plays. and it does nothing but recite names. Chaim Goldberg, 3 years old, Warsaw. Miriam Schwartz, 8 years old, Sarajevo. Shimon, you know, 3 years old, until you can bear it no longer. And as I literally ran out of the room into the blinding Jerusalem sunlight, I thought to myself for the first time, you know, my name is not on the tape. I'm of the age. They met me too. But my name's not on the tape. My father and mother, they came to Chicago. They didn't stay in Lipton. So I said to myself, you know, if your name is not on the tape, then you got to do something, right? Then you have to try and be productive for the Jewish people, for Torah, for Eretz Yisrael, for everything that's holy with us. Because my name is not on the tape. So none of our names are on the tape. Is Ovrim Lefonov Kivnei Maron, right? That's what they'll say in heaven, you know. Your name's not on the tape. What'd you do for me? In the Torah we read, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu has the perfect job for a yeshiva man. He's working for his father-in-law. He's Midian. He's removed from all the troubles. And one day he goes and he takes his sheep and he comes by a place and there's a bush that's burning. The Kotzker Rebbe says that the bush wasn't burning only for Moshe, the bush was burning for everybody. It was burning for a long time, but people are busy, right? They have carpool, to go shopping, we got things to do. Oh yeah, the bush of hill was burning yesterday too. Isn't that nice? Nobody stopped. What made Moshe Moshe is Moshe said, Osura nova eres amare agodol azeh madua lo yivarasne. I'm going to stop and look, why does the bush not consume? So then it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Hashem kisor liros, God saw somebody stopped. Oh, so the angel says, Moshe, Moshe, boy, I got a job for you. Now Moshe doesn't want that job in the worst way. Who can blame him? Rabbi Lev can testify that when I was in Rova, Miami Beach, kitty corner from my shul was the Reform Temple. And I was very friendly with the Reform Rabbi. He was a great guy, didn't believe in anything, so we had a lot in common. So I once told him in a jest, but only a half jest, I said, you know, I'm jealous of you. He said, you're jealous of me? I said, yeah. He said, why are you jealous of me? I said, listen, I'm a rabbi and I got a shul full of Jews, and you're a rabbi and you got a shul full of goyim. So Moshe's got a job, right? And he doesn't want it because he knows. See, finally says to God, "Shlachno biatishlof, send somebody else, not me. Don't send me." And then the Lord, so to speak, loses his temper, and he says to him, "Moshe, you're going." So I always wondered why, according to the Ibn Ezra, Moshe's name is an Egyptian name. Moshe is not a Hebrew name, it's an Egyptian name. He says Mishisiyu is Rosh Mitzri, because that was the language the daughter of the Pharaoh spoke. And if she would have gone to day school in America, she also wouldn't know Hebrew, so it would have to be a different language somehow. So, you know, Mayim Mishisiyu. The Gemara in Megillah says that Moshe had wonderful Hebrew names, Tuvia, Yered, Avigdor, and beautiful Hebrew names. You know, so God calls him what? Jeffrey, Eric, you know what? I didn't call him that. Not Frum. You mean, Amaya Mishisiyu, Moshe, don't tell me, Shlach Naviyatishlach, I saved you from the crocodiles. I took you out of the water. You can't tell me no. You mean, Amaya Mishisiyu. The Jewish people have to have that sense of responsibility that we are saved for a purpose. Slowly it's dawning on many people, you know, that the state of Israel is not going to be like every other place in the world. It's not going to be treated like any other place in the world. You know, in Herzl, came up with the idea of political Zionism. So he said that the reason there's anti-Semitism in the world is because the Jewish people are abnormal. They don't have a country. They don't have a flag. They don't have an anthem. They don't have an Olympic team. They're not normal. But if we somehow correct that, so then. His phrase was, you know, we'll be like Guatemala. Nobody hates Guatemala, except for the Guatemalans, but nobody really hates Guatemala. So we'll be like Guatemala. Kachol Agoyim Beis Yisrael. And slowly it's dawning upon us that that's not going to happen. We have an Olympic team, and we have an anthem, and we have a flag, and we have an army, and we have a country, and we have an economy, and we have everything. Baruch Hashem, can't imagine what Israel is. In 1969, when Moshe Dayan, who was Minister of Agriculture, they didn't grow tomatoes yet in the country. It was the first year that they grew tomatoes, and the tomatoes were hard like rock. And in his honor, they called the tomatoes Meshulach. But you go to the shuk today, you go on out. I have some Russian Jews whom I know who told me that for the first 2 weeks they were in Israel, they went every day to the supermarket. Because they couldn't believe it. Because in Moscow, you used to stand in line 2.5 hours to get a loaf of bread. And the Gemara says that when the Jews will come back, so then the land will produce. The Peel Commission in 1936 said that all of Palestine together cannot support more than 2.5 million people. Therefore, they said no more immigration. Right? And today, I saw the statistics this morning. There's close to 8 million in the country, and there's 6 million Jews in the country. Nimilele Avraham, Enika Bonim Sora. Who thought that that would ever happen? And we take it for granted. We have to. Ein Balanes Makir Beniso. Because if we really thought about it day in and day out, we'd be paralyzed. We wouldn't be able to do anything. So we have to treat it as being normal. But it's an enormous miracle. And that there's Torah amongst Klal Yisrael, Levs can testify that in Miami Beach, the Masifta that we had in Miami Beach was very small in number, to put it mildly. And today, the yeshivas, you want to go to this one, you go to that one, and this one's no good, and that one's better, and what are they talking about? I remember when the Rabbonim in Chicago and great literature Rabbonim went house to house and knocked on the door and said, please send, and the people were not Shomrei Shabbos, the doors they knocked on, and said, please send your child, we're opening a school, please give us your child. Nobody talked about tuition. Nobody asked whether he had a television set in the house. Nobody asked, you know, whether your grandmother lit two or three candles. We thought we had no chance. And now, look, can I know her? Oh, I thought MetLife, New York Giants football stadium, came off in Tikkun. You know, and 90,000 Jews came for the Daf HaYomi. I have, in my shul, I have very interesting people. I have a number of rabbis that were not necessarily Orthodox rabbis in the United States. But Eretz Yisrael, you know, pushes us all to the right. So one of them came over to me and he said, you know, he said the conservative movement and the reform movement couldn't get 90,000 people together for anything. He said, how did you guys pull it off? So I told him, we charged. It would have been free, nobody would have come this way, you know. But if you think of it, I mean, Mayor Shapiro never thought that it could happen. So it's a nes betoch nes. In all of Lithuania before the war, there were maybe 3,000 Talmidim in the yeshivas. Right? It's half of what's doing in the mirror in Jerusalem. I'm not talking quality, but I'm talking numbers at least. So we are in the midst of a great change in the Jewish world. And that change, we have to recognize on Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and we're each responsible for furthering that change. Everybody in their own way. I came here in 1974 in the midst of the Arab oil boycott after the Yom Kippur War. The Yom Kippur War was a terrible thing. And the IDF had over 2,600 dead and 10,000 injured. The state almost got, you know, it was a hair difference between winning and losing the first week of the war. So I came here, the mood was just terrible, so depressed. So I went to see a great rabbi, and I asked him, you know, what does he say about the matzav? See, he said it to me in Yiddish. He said, Ganz Klal Yisrael, the whole Jewish people here in Eretz Yisrael are in, it's this one big hospital. He said, some people are in intensive care. Some people are in the psychiatric ward. Some people are outpatients. But it's one big hospital. He said, what's the first rule in a hospital? He said, silence, check it. Does the doctor come in the morning and say, why aren't you better? So he says, I don't understand. What's right, Linda? Why is everybody hollering? A little silence would help. A little decency would help. A little courtesy would help. So believe it or not, things are much better than they were 30 years ago. At least they give you a bag at the grocery store now. I always say, the Gemara says that Voyo emunus itecho chosen yeshuos chochmos vadaas yiras Hashem hiyotzoro. So that refers to the Shisha Sidre Mishnah. So my understanding of the pasuk occurred to me when I was in Israel like 40 years ago, and I don't know anything. I come from America where not only they give you a bag, they carry it out in the car and put it. So I bought like 8, 9, 10 items, and it's lying on the counter, and I paid a guy, and I'm standing there. I didn't have a sow, I didn't have a bag to give it. So he said, "No, take it. So I put yogurt in my pocket, my jacket, and I'm walking home like. So I thought to myself that you're going to have Chochmah Vadas, you're going to have six Sidrei Mishnah, the Yeros Hashem Yotzoro, you don't have a bag to take it home with. If you have Yiras Hashem, so then all of that goes with you. But without Yiras Hashem, Yotzoro, then you can't. No way to get it home. No way to make it count. So in conclusion, I want to tell you that in the Rosh Hashanah prayers and Yom Kippur, we say Sefer HaZikaron is open. Umeilov Yikore. And it reads itself. You don't have to read it. V'chosam Yad Kolodombo. And we all sign our page. Now the question is, what does it say on the page? God forbid it should be a blank page. Eilav Yikore has to read by itself. So that's Torah, that's Masim Tovim, that's loyalty, that's goodness, that's charity, that's good speech, it's caring, it's optimism, it's respect for Torah, for B'nai Torah. It's love of Eretz Yisrael. Our great-great-grandparents would have walked across Europe in the snow barefoot to see a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael. Be able to spend Yom HaNoroyim in Eretz Yisrael. And we have to appreciate that. And we have to realize each one is special. And how wonderful each one is. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manoim garaleinu mayofa yushaseinu. What we have. And to somehow impart that to the next generation. So they should also feel that way. And in that merit and in that honor and with that mindset, so then we can appear before the Ribbono Shalom Kaviyochol Kivnei Maron, one by one by one, but we appear as the great soldiers of the House of David, soldiers of the Jewish people. And through that, then we'll be Zocha together with all of Klal Yisrael, the Shnas Chaim Shalom, and be Zocha to see Nachama Sion Avinyan Yerushalayim. Amen.